Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Good morning or evening.
Yes. Depending whether you're listening in Australia or Albuquerque.
This is true.
Or if you took a DeLorean to the future.
Back to the future?
Back.
As it were?
Back to the future.
Wait, I just realized, because he goes back in time, so he's trying to get back to
the future,
even though he travels in the past. Mm,
so back to the present, kind of.
Really? That's really what it should have been called. Gosh.
Man.
Shock Therapy Live, Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig hanging out with you. Good morning, evening.
Yes.
Welcome to the show. Phone line is open, 505-338-3700. Oh, just kidding, lines. They just hung up. I guess they didn't like the back to the present joke.
It's really good to be here.
Never mind. It is good to be here. We're excited. We got a few email questions already. If you would like to get a question in for Shock Therapy Live, you can email us, studio@mystaticradio.com. You can also give us a call if you're so bold, 505-338-3700. Maybe it's not something deep, and I know we answer a lot of crazy, gnarly questions, but there's nothing so quote-unquote plain that we won't talk about it. Maybe you read something in your Bible this week and you were a little confused about it. Maybe you just have a question about a friendship, a relationship, how to handle a certain situation. We're basically here to just hang out and talk to you. So you can also go to Facebook, facebook.com/mystaticradio. If you got a question, post it there. And we'll answer your questions. We just want to hang out this morning for Shock Therapy Live. If you missed any of our past shows, mystaticradio.com, we do podcast the show each and every week. In fact, we had an opportunity not too long ago to do Shock Therapy Live, and I know that's something that we've talked
about. Shock Therapy Live, but it was live.
Mm-hmm.
There.
So, as part of Renovate Your Ministry Thursday nights, real quick, before we dig into these crazy questions and awesomeness, let's talk about Renovate. We don't get to spend enough time talking about Renovate. You have an amazing ministry Thursday nights at Calvary Knob Hill at the Lobo Theater.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, we meet every Thursday night at 7:30. And, Renovate's really cool because originally it was just a college ministry, but over time, more and more people have come that aren't in college. So we really consider ourselves like an 18 to like 28-ish ministry.
Okay.
But right now we've got couples that come, some couples that actually have kids that come. We've got some people that are in their 50s that come to Renovate, and it's really changed. And Renovate's really cool because it's church like you wouldn't expect church to be. It's loud. We really meet in an old theater, kind of a club venue.
Yeah.
We've got awesome lights, we've got awesome music. And then I like to deliver a message kind of like I would on Shock Therapy Live, that doesn't really hold back any punches. So
right.
Very real, very raw, dealing with what we're dealing with in our day and age. And so we have a lot of fun. One big thing that we always like to say about Renovate is it's reality. I think that a lot of people in our culture right now are sick of people not being real. And so they'll go to church and they'll hear their pastors talk and say things that, it's just not real. It's not how they act. It's not how they would respond to a situation. And so I think that the culture today is sick of people being fake. And so at Renovate, it's not going to be fake, that's for sure. It's very real. And we like
genuine.
We like to hit you where you're at. So,
you don't rock the Colonel Sanders suit.
No, I do
all
the time.
Good.
No, I don't.
I just that would be amazing if you did.
Dude, I was looking back at some Renovate podcasts, and I was looking back to a time when I had a mustache and a ponytail. I was like, wow,
come on. It was like a good eclectic mix of Gangs of New York. You were Leonardo DiCaprio and Daniel Day-Lewis at the same time.
Dude, I actually liked the ponytail. I looked back at some pictures of the ponytail.
Dude, I liked
the ponytail.
Where's
it was,
it at?
It was greasy and nasty and like
Gangs of New York, Leonardo DiCaprio. I saw that for the first time this week. I'm a little behind the times.
Dude, that's a gnarly movie.
It was!
That's one of those movies you don't want to tell people you've ever seen.
Everybody, here's the deal. When I had that crazy mustache, people always said, what is his name? Bill the Butcher? Bob the Butcher? Whatever his name was. And then also There Will Be Blood. Two movies I have never seen. Dude, what? You know, oh, Daniel Day-Lewis, blah, 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 blah.
So I never saw Lincoln. Did you see Lincoln?
I did not. So we got this like free view. You know how you get like free previews random weekends for like HBO free this weekend? Yeah. And I kid you not, for some reason, maybe, I don't know if it's because 4th of July, Gangs of New York and There Will Be Blood randomly.
That's awesome.
So I TiVo'd them or whatever, DVR'd them. I've only watched one, and you're right. I should have known the second it started, and it was like, Gangs of New York, a Martin Scorsese film.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay, I know how this one's going to go. It was gnarly. And
dude,
it was like, I didn't walk out of there like, yeah, I feel so fantastic. I felt like, man, that was 3 hours I will never, ever, ever get back.
I did walk out, and I was like, man, I want to be in a street fight.
But only a street fight from like Anchorman, not from Gangs in New York.
Hey, you bring your friends, I'll bring my friends, street fight.
I don't know, man. It was weird to me. Okay, I don't know how accurate it was, but they were like sitting at a round table like, okay, we're going to have a street fight. You name the weapons. It was like, this and this and this. Pistols? No pistols. And it's like,
I don't know though.
What
people,
is happening?
Like, it seems like when you go back in time, people fought stupid. It's like, hey, you march your guys in a line and then we'll say, ready? Aim,
no, this is true.
Fire. Okay, now it's your turn. Ready? Aim, fire.
It's we'll like
just
Red
see
Rover.
Who dies first.
Right, it's like Red Rover to the death.
Yeah.
It's called Dead Rover.
Dead Rover.
Dead Rover.
Man, it's just like the way that people fought back then was just dumb. It was just dumb. Like
as opposed to fighting today, which is so.
But like, let's talk about a duel. Whoever decided a duel was a good idea to settle your disputes.
I don't know. You take off a glove, you slap the dude.
No, that's
right?
Like that's a better duel.
I know. Well, that isn't that how you get a duel
I
going?
I think that was effeminate people would do that.
They would
like,
slap him with the glove, and then it was like, "That's it, 10 paces, turn and fire."
Yeah, I don't know.
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. I promise we'll talk about more than
maybe
just Gangs of New York.
Possibly.
Anyways, I finally saw it. Whatever. Scorsese. Anybody who recommends a Scorsese movie to me, no
really?
More. No more.
Well, see, this is the thing. It's a gnarly movie. I enjoy the film.
Yeah.
But it was it's gnarly.
It was, dude. Well, that's how it is with Scorsese all the
time. It's a fast-forward movie. Fast forward.
Wait, was Scorsese Hugo?
Never mind.
That movie was fantastic.
Dude,
nobody died.
Scorsese's
well,
done a
that's
lot
not
of
true,
great movies.
Actually. Anyways, it's Shock Therapy Live. We talk culture. We talk whatever. I wanted to talk about, we got a few emails. Do you want to get to one of the emails?
Yeah.
Where to start?
Let's start right here.
Okay.
Hi, guys. There are guys in my life who will hint that they like me and want a relationship with me.
Okay.
Then one day they will stop talking to me and stop trying to be my friend. It hurts me and makes me feel like they are playing with my heart. My question is, do guys do this and how can I protect my heart from getting hurt?
Quit playing games with my heart. That's what she's saying, right?
Yeah.
Basically. In a nutshell, she's singing Backstreet Boys to us, which is cool.
I like Backstreet Boys.
Sadly, do we want to be truthful? There's a lot of dudes out there that aren't on the level. There's a lot of guys that are really... There's some names that I just can't even use because this is family radio. But there are dudes out there that are just... Yeah,
not
they're
nice
jerks,
people.
Man.
They're just not nice.
I think about this. I remember a time when I was a new believer. If we're talking about believers, maybe. I'm just trying to possibly give the guy a maybe. But you remember when you were like a brand new believer and you know you gave your life to Christ and you looked at your CD collection and your movies and all that, and you're like, I got to get rid of all my secular CDs and I got to get rid of all my R-rated movie, whatever it was. And you went through that time period where it was like you had to rid yourself of everything icky. Maybe it's like a new believer and he's like, I really like this girl. And instead of actually having self-control and handling his emotions, maybe he was like, oh, but she makes me feel kind of funny in places. And so I can't have any communication with her because
it sounds like it's happened a few times.
Right.
To
maybe
her.
The guy thinks, hey, I kind of like you. I would like to get involved. Whoa. Nope. Can't. I got to go.
Isn't that funny that would happen like a few times in a row with different guys?
Like
saying there are
dog
guys.
Returns to his vomit, so a fool returns
no,
to
no,
his
No, no, not
folly.
The same
dudes
guy.
Dudes are idiots.
Not the same guy, multiple guys.
Yeah, we're talking about dudes
maybe,
here.
Maybe she has bad gas. We can't exclude that possibility.
There are many, honestly, I wish we could just give you a 8-second answer. There's about 1,000 books written about this very thing. You know, we're humans. We're all humans, and we are fooled by our emotions a lot of times. And honestly, maybe it's one of those situations where a guy, is it, it's multiple guys? There are guys in my life
who will hint that they like me and want a relationship with me. Then one day, they will stop talking to me. So it sounds like this has happened numerous times with her. You know, this is why I would say—
maybe she's standoffish.
I still think bad gas needs to be ruled into the situation.
I know, you're probably right.
But if you don't have bad gas, then I would honestly say guys are flakes. I've done multiple messages on dating, and I'll always get down on the guys and say, guys, we've got to step it up in this area, because guys have the tendency to lead girls on.
Oh, absolutely.
Guys have the tendency to be dating a girl and have another girl in the wings just in case this relationship doesn't work out. You know,
right.
Guys can just be jerks.
Yeah.
And so I would say the way that you avoid this is by looking for the right kind of guys.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, it seems like girls are often drawn to the bad guy. And it's so funny. Even if the bad guy isn't a cute bad guy, girls are just drawn to a guy who's just a jerk. The way I can prove this is go to the mall.
Okay.
And you'll see a certain group of guys walking around
hilarious.
With really, really cute girls who are just normal girls who look like they grew up in good homes, walking with the weirdest looking guys. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Their pants are going to fall off. They walk with a limp. I mean,
you're trying to read what their neck says.
Yeah. And the funny thing is they do this weird penguin walk with their hands around the girls, and it's just strange.
Yeah.
I've never understood how girls are attracted to that. I just want to see them trip. Every time I see them walking in the mall, I just want to see them trip. I just wait for that day when they trip and I can go, ha ha!
Yeah. No, true story.
Laugh at them.
Dudes are honestly, I got to be honest with you. I apologize, emailer, but dudes suck.
Yeah.
A lot of times. Guys just, you're right. They're flaky. They don't even know. They can't handle. And if you're dealing with believers, maybe that's the situation. I know a lot of guys who, because they can't maintain that self-control, or they think they're ready for a relationship because they're, I've been praying about it, but then when you come face to face with the female, your emotions, your hormones, your whatever, and you can't handle it, and you're like, I gotta go, I gotta rid myself of this, I have to flee this temptation, and rather than exert any kind of self-control, I'm just gonna run away because you caused me to stumble. And maybe the guy's just running away.
Yeah.
Who,
but
I don't know.
This is the thing. I don't think that would happen with multiple guys in a row.
You don't think so? I'm just going to say, how are you dressing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
What vibe are you putting off? Are you standoffish? Or is it the flip side where you're like, this guy said he liked me and I started talking immediately about how many kids I wanted in marriage, and the guy's like, cool, I'm 17, I'm out.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know. Unfortunately, this is a 2-sentence email. So there could be a number of reasons, but honestly, guys are jerks.
That's true. I mean, what if the email went and she's like, so, these guys, they say they like me, they say they want a relationship with me, and then one day I have them in my house and I show them the shrine that I have in my closet with a wax replica of their bodies, and they just stop talking to me. It doesn't make any sense. I thought they'd be really flattered by the wax replica.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't know. I mean, there are many reasons. If it's multiple guys we're talking about here who over the course of however long have shown interest and then say they don't want anything to do with her, to me, there's a pattern. What's the common denominator there? Honestly.
Gas.
There you go. Thank you, Anonymous. MyStaticRadio.com. You can click a link there that'll get you to Shock Therapy Live if you would like to anonymously send us an email. Or you could just send us an email. We promise if you send us an email and say you'd like to be kept anonymous, we will respect that. Studio at MyStaticRadio.com.
Yeah. Facebook us.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Maybe you have some insight as well.
Be our fake friends on Facebook.
Maybe you want to throw some insight down on any of the things we discussed this morning. We got a few email questions that are going to be pretty interesting. So facebook.com/MyStaticRadio.
We actually got a Facebook.
All right.
I've talked to you guys online before, and now I have another question. I've been pondering now at my local church. I'm a Methodist, and I'm just feeling not connected in the church anymore. I'm starting to learn a lot from the pastor, and I have basically felt hurt by the denomination, but I'm in a position of leadership and I'm really trying to become a better leader. I guess my question is, how do I work through the hurt I've experienced and challenge myself and become a better leader?
Hmm.
So he's at a church. Yeah. He's feeling disconnected from the church and the denomination.
Okay.
But at the same time, he doesn't want to be there maybe, but he's also feeling like he should be there because he's in leadership and he doesn't know if he should leave or stay. What should he do?
You got to seek God on that, first of all. You got to pray, because maybe it's a situation where, I mean, if you're at a church that's a specific denomination and you're taking a look at maybe their core values or their statements and saying, you know, I don't believe in a lot of this stuff, but I am in leadership, so I think I should stick it out. That's not necessarily a reason
to stay.
A good
reason, yeah.
Especially if you're feeling challenged and you're saying, I don't know if this is the right place. I'm hurt by a lot of these things. You need to weigh those out and see what those things are. On the flip side, you say that you're learning a lot from the pastor, but you've been hurt by the denomination. Maybe it's the pastor that you speak to. I remember years ago when I was first attending the church that my wife and I still go to. It's an Assemblies of God church. And back then, it was different. It was
That's so
like,
funny. You go to an Assemblies of God church, but you didn't know like Hillsong United songs.
What are you talking about?
Like Assemblies of God is all about Hillsong United.
No,
totally.
I'm the worship leader at my church.
No, I know.
We're not Hillsong
But Assemblies
United.
Of God is like totally about Hillsong.
How do you know that?
Because I know a lot of Assemblies of God people, and they're like they all like use Hillsong.
Last week we started off with "I'll Fly Away." That's definitely pre-Hillsong.
No, no, but you're like.
You're
the
right.
exception.
Thank you.
Most Assemblies of God are like all about Hillsong.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I know, but
Hillsong.
It was just surprising.
The Prelude, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. with Celeste. Anyways, so maybe it's one of those things. What I was going to say is there were some things that freaked me out. The initial, one of the 13 fundamental or whatever core belief blah, 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 of the Assemblies of God, the initial physical evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. And I said, that's weird. So I went to our pastor and said, hey, man, what does this mean? You know, and why is this a core, you know, what, how? And we actually sat down and had a really great conversation. And he took me to the book of Acts. And it wasn't that it was the, it is a, you know, it can be an evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not the, not every single, you know, and it was like, thank you for helping me with that because I was pissed.
And then he said,
no, he did not. And it was fantastic. And we had a great conversation. And in turn, he gave me the 13 core values and I took them home and read through them. And it was like, you know what? Cool. And if I had questions, I would go back. Okay, now what is this and where is this? And it really just got me to dig deeper in God's word and see, okay, well, what are my core values? What do I believe? How do I line up here? So maybe if you believe, hey, I feel hurt by the denomination. However, I'm learning so much from my pastor. And if you have that relationship with your pastor, especially if you're in a position of leadership, you should have a good relationship with your pastor. Take it to your pastor. Talk to your pastor. Hey, these are my questions. I don't necessarily line up here. I don't know what this means. Why do we do this? And then pray. Pray that wisdom will be, boom, given to you, that you will be able to discern truth and understand like where you should be because, yeah.
Yeah, this is what I would say to this guy too. You know, unfortunately, you're in the position that a lot of people are in with a lot of modern churches today. And I've been reading a really, really great book. The book talks about this concept that the natural tendency of churches is extinction. And that means that the natural entropy, the natural position that a church will go to unless it's radically changed, is it will get older and older and older until it dies off.
Yep.
And so the church in general is in a crisis today where a lot of people that have grown up in churches, specifically churches that are denominational churches, because usually those don't change very much. They'll stay the same until eventually they just die out. And so what's happening in a lot of churches today is the younger people aren't getting connected. They're not getting that connection to other younger people. They're not seeing a fresh work of God. They're stuck in this church that they just see getting older and older and older. Mm-hmm. And so they feel a disconnect from what's happening there. And so what we have to do as churches is actively desire to reach out to the youth. And that's how a movement of God continues on. You know, every great movement, when Calvary first started in general across the whole nation, and the Jesus movement kicked off, what kicked that off was the church reaching out to a younger generation. And that's how these movements of God always start, is reaching out to a younger generation. When we stop doing that, the church begins to die. And so what I would encourage you is either A, you be that catalyst for your church to start reaching out to that younger generation, or you find a church that is doing that. Because, you know, there's just a great work of God that God still wants to do, and you see this in some churches today. You know, you see this in the Passion Movement, in Hillsong, in other movements of this desire to really reach to the next generation, the youth. And those are the churches that are going to carry on the mantle into the next generation. So I would just I can understand that feeling. I've talked to friends, personal friends of mine, who are feeling the same way in the churches that they've been in. Mm-hmm. And I've encouraged them the same thing I'd encourage you. Spend some time really praying and seeking the Lord. You know, ask him if this is something, a desire that he's placed on your heart, that is a good desire, that you just truly want to be more connected to the body of Christ and with people your age, or if this is something that is just maybe a selfish desire that you have, an ungodly desire. But seek the Lord and truly see where he wants you, where he wants to place you. So
thanks for the Facebook question. Facebook.com/mystaticradio. Dude, great answer. I think if more churches modeled themselves after that, I think one of the problems is you get to the older church and the tithers would be the older generation. And then, but the older generation, what, you're not catering to me anymore. Hey, older generation, you have wisdom. You have been around. You should be mentoring that next generation and teaching them and building them up and not expecting everything to be about you, but serving, especially if you've been in a church for that long, that you should have an understanding of what it means.
You know, and it's so funny. I hear pastors use this, well, they're the tithing people. They're the tithing all the time. And what's happening is pastors are planning for the present, but they're not planning for the future.
Right.
Because what happens when all your tithers die and you don't have anyone else in the church?
Yeah.
Well, then you're not going to like slowly lose money. You're going to be bankrupt.
Right.
Wait, crap. All my tithers died. I don't have a church anymore. So unless you're actively, those people who are tithing in church now, at one point they were young.
Right.
And at one point they had to decide what church they were going to get connected in and what church they were going to make a part of their life so that when they did have money to tithe, they would be tithing.
Yeah.
So unless you're actively pursuing that younger generation, eventually your church will die and you won't have a church.
Yeah.
So, you know, the book that I'm reading says that what happens is the older generation will stick through a lot more. Mm-hmm. The younger ones won't. The younger ones will just go somewhere else.
Yep.
So unless you're spending, let's say, 75% of your time reaching out to the youth, you have to be intentional about overreaching the youth. Otherwise, the youth won't come.
Yeah.
The older generation will stick around because they have seen your ministry. They believe in what you're doing. They'll stick through it with you because they're more devoted and they're more committed.
Yeah.
The younger generation is not so. So you've got to be much more intentional about reaching the youth and then trust that when the older people see this, they see what God's doing, they're going to want to be a part of it and they'll stick around too.
There you go. We got to take a quick break. Coming right back. More of your questions. I see a Facebook question popped up. Facebook.com/mystaticradio. The phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. Coming back, we'll also answer a couple email questions, one about friendships and one about language, how we use our words. We'll do that on the way back. Shock Therapy Live, Static Radio.
Remember in Sunday school when Jesus was the right answer to every question? So you've grown, and maybe now it's time to go a bit deeper into your faith. Asking questions and taking the time to find answers is probably the best thing you could do. If you're looking for a challenge and a time to learn more to serve our God better, maybe the School of Ministry at Calvary Albuquerque is right for you. Now accepting applications for the 2013-2014 school year. Find an application at calvaryabq.org/SOM.
Do you want to be famous? Be famous for God. Do you want to be an actor, model, singer, or dancer? Be famous for God. Do you think the world needs better role models? Be a star for God. Actors, Models, and Talent for Christ is coming to Albuquerque Saturday, July 20th. A new wave of Christian performers is rising. Join the movement. Call 1-800-STAR-420. That's 1-800-STAR-420 or visit befamousforgod.org. Success in the entertainment industry is about more than your talent. It's about your purpose. We're searching for actors, models, singers, and dancers in Albuquerque Saturday, July 20th. Call 800-STAR-420. That's 800-STAR-420 or log on befamousforgod.org.
Actors, Models, and Talent for Christ is a nonprofit ministry. Register for your audition today. Call 800-STAR-420. That's 800-STAR-420 or befamousforgod.org.
Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this time the treatment will take. Better yet, chime in now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
All right. More.
More.
And more
Shock
and more.
Shock Therapy Live.
505-338-3700 is the phone number if you'd like to chime in on the conversation.
Yeah.
Our operator is standing by.
Dude,
or sitting by.
Are you having Daniel on the show tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
That will be fun. Daniel Lesko, dear friend of ours, who in the process of putting together a movie.
Yes. Dude, it's going to be an epic movie.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about it.
Had Kevin Sorbo on, remember, like way back in the day.
Yeah.
Talking about Christians and film and yeah.
Yep.
So Daniel Lesko, director, extraordinaire, big old dude, awesome guy. Did my first, I don't know what you'd call it, indie film with that guy. It was pretty awesome.
Thievery conspiracy.
Yeah.
I watched it the other night. I watched young Steve-O in that movie.
Oh, man. It's really bad. You can be honest. It's pretty terrible. I have it on DVD.
I actually really enjoyed watching it. Maybe because I just knew everyone in it, so it was like really, it was fun for me to see it.
Yeah. It was a short film that was like, dude, when this gets picked up, we're going to make a full feature-length film.
Dude, it was so funny. There was, at the end of it, the special features. One of the things was like a message from the director. He's like, this is Daniel Lesko, the director, writer, and producer of Thievery Conspiracy. And it was just really funny. Like, we watched it, and I really enjoyed it because you just saw Daniel's passion for film.
Oh, yeah.
Even that, like, that young, like... Yep. You know, oh my gosh, it was just great. It was just a lot of fun to watch.
We're going to have him on tomorrow for the show, talking to us a little bit about the film and what he's doing, and really excited. I got a chance to sit in on a read for this film, and so an early script. I'm sure it's changed a couple times, you know, but man, the story is epic.
Yeah.
It's a great story. So we'll definitely be doing that. That's tomorrow, Steve-O and Mitch. Tomorrow AM 9-ish, 8-ish, I don't remember.
I think
Mitch
like
booked it.
I think it was like
7:30.
There you go.
Ish.
Ish. 7:30.
Oh, my producer extraordinaire and co-host is not in the room.
Is he on whatever that other show is?
That other show as well, yes.
Yeah.
Peter Benson.
Good.
ABQ Connect 107.1. KNKT.
Cool.
So it is Steve-O and Pastor Nate with you, Shock Therapy Live, and
we're getting crunk.
We got some crazy questions.
What does crunk mean?
Well, I don't. It depends on who you talk to. Like the Family Force Five guys, it's like crazy, and they're like dancing.
What
and
does it
like
mean to Little John?
And oh, I don't know.
Crazy
drunk, I think. But that Family Force Five guys said, nope, that's not what it means, and it just means like
runk. Drunk.
Right. Crazy.
Oh, crazy drunk.
Crunk.
I understand
crazy
now.
Crazy crunk.
Crunk.
But that's, no. You know what? Words. We'll talk about words and meaning on the way. But first, we got what do we get on Facebook? Did you read this? Did you see this? Right there.
Yes. Says, I have a question.
Okay.
I have yet to find a pastor and a church that seems to comfort me with the presence of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Lord. The teachings of the message pastors are sending isn't relating to me or other younger generation Christian friends I have. How do I find the church and pastor that help me find the loving presence of the Lord without the idea of jumping from church to church?
Hmm. As we're talking about the church reaching the next generation, I know they live, this is the Fernando family, Jeremiah Gallup resident.
Okay.
So
this is the thing. I think that I want to be careful with this because I think a lot of times we expect a pastor to do too much. We expect a pastor to like spoon feed us the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And like, look, pastor, I'm here. Bless me. Like, this is a bless me time. So I want to be blessed.
I didn't get the warm fuzzies during
worship.
Blessed.
Like, I'm here. Now bless me. And we forget the purpose of the church isn't for us to come and get blessed, it's for us to come and bless others.
Right.
And so a lot of times we come and we just expect it to be like an awesome like bless fest. Like, okay, the worship. All right, worship leader, bless. bless me. I want to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Okay, all right, Pastor, it's your turn. Now bless me. I want to leave here feeling encouraged. Oh, wait, you talked about sin in my life. I don't feel blessed. I feel like I feel bad about myself now. That wasn't what I was supposed to be. I'm going to go to another church.
Right.
And we expect church to be this, you know, this weird thing that it really shouldn't be. Now, at the same time, you do want a pastor that's going to speak to things that you're dealing with.
Absolutely.
You know, I would say, like, for instance, Shock Therapy Live, my goal isn't for anyone to listen to Shock Therapy Live and feel like super like, oh, man, I was really blessed. You know, at the same time, I want people to leave and feel like they got their questions answered, that maybe they got sin confronted in their life. It dealt with what they're dealing with. It spoke into their lives.
Yeah.
But my goal isn't for them to feel like, oh man, I really feel better about myself.
Right.
And that shouldn't be the goal of any pastor. You know, we want to speak to real life issues. We want to speak to what you're dealing with. We want to connect to you with where you're at. But the goal isn't for you to leave, you know, feeling warm and fuzzy inside.
Right.
You know, there's certain messages where you do want to feel the encouragement of the Lord. But that isn't every message, and that isn't the goal of the church. So I think you find a church that's teaching the word. You find a church that I would say that you agree with, you know, what they're doing, who they're reaching. So, you know, again, find a church that's reaching out to the youth, that's reaching out to a younger generation, you know, one that you agree with their core beliefs. Steve kind of brought that up of looking at what they believe, what they're teaching, you know. But then I would say a big part of that is checking your heart and making sure that your heart's in the right place when you're going to church.
Yeah, and in different cities, you know, Albuquerque, there's lots of churches, but in Gallup, I know there's less so. There's less Christian churches in Gallup, New Mexico than there would be, say, in Albuquerque. So I wish there was more resources for Gallup, but I know that, you know.
The funny thing is, too, just in the end part of this question, how do I find a church and a pastor that help me find the loving presence of the Lord? I have a hard part with that question because finding the presence of the Lord is something that you should be doing on a daily basis, not something you should be relying on your pastor to provide for you. The pastor's job isn't to provide for you the presence of the Lord. That's God's job, and that's something that you should be doing on a daily basis, not relying on a church to do for you.
If
the only time you feel the presence of the Lord is once a week when you go to church, there's a serious issue, and it's not an issue with the church. It's an issue with your walk with God.
Yeah, and maybe by digging into the Word and seeking Him through prayer, through His Word, then God will guide you where you should be. So maybe if you're digging in and seeking God's presence moment by moment, then that instruction will come. But yeah, absolutely, dig in and maybe check some resources. I'm sure friends around you, if you have other friends that are believers, that, hey, man, we're going to check out this church. Unfortunately, he already responded on Facebook, actually. Facebook.com/MySideRadio. Oh, okay. Never mind. I was hoping he was going to say something about Gallup.
Going into the language.
Okay.
Most of the pastors in my area speak Navajo, which I don't fully understand.
Oh, okay. There's that language barrier. That makes sense. So is that... It's over. Everybody online can still hear us, but Albuquerque just got drowned out by that. That's good. It's
there's
a monthly
no
monthly
There's no
test.
Point to talk. People,
there's no point in talking.
People online, pretend that you're hearing this.
Jeremiah's hearing it because he's out in Gallup. Everybody on the app can still hear us. But thanks, coordinated monthly test during Shock Therapy Live.
Should we just let everyone else hear this too? Is there a way that we can put the microphone up so they hear this as well? Just we want you to get the full experience. This is live
of what
after
we're going
all.
Through.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Even the EAS system is against us. Speaking of against us... No, I wouldn't say that. We got a great email.
I don't want to take those emails yet, though.
Okay, 505-338-3700. The phone number, yeah.
Oh, the thing's done?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, that was quick.
That was quick. Welcome back, Albuquerque.
Are there some that are longer and some that are shorter?
Yeah, that was a coordinated monthly test. There wasn't an Amber Alert or anything like that, so we're good. Hi, Albuquerque.
Do we ever get those?
Yeah, Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig. If the zombie apocalypse were to happen, and God forbid there was like a crazy emergency, and Channel 4... obliterated, right?
Because that's where the zombies would go first.
Maybe. We're number two. So for the whole state, 88.3 FM KLYT, we are like the people to get it out to everybody else. Hey, zombies! Run!
So first they'd go eat Steve Stucker. Then they'd
sadly,
come after you.
Yeah, I know. And he's like, hey, everybody, this morning I got my dog with me, and I'm just going to be doing the weather. Ah! Do you think he'd scream like that? Ah! How would he scream? I don't know. I can't do a Steve Stucker scream. I love Steve Stucker.
I don't know.
He's the nicest dude.
But all I know,
I'd be saddened by a Steve Stucker zombie.
Is the zombies, as they're coordinating their attack, Steve Stucker would be number one on their list. You would be number two.
I would be number
they'd
two.
They'd come after
they'd
you.
They'd come after the Steves. Why, zombies? Why?
Because you have the
nice
emergency
people.
Alert system.
Steves are nice people.
Amber alert. Amber alert. Zombies are attacking children.
Steves. Steves. Stuckers.
Zombies are attacking
Rymans.
Steve's children.
Yeah. Wow. It's terrible. Shock Therapy Live.
I actually really want to shoot a zombie.
Steve, Pastor Nate.
How
Isaac
fun would that be?
You
got to admit, it would be great to shoot a zombie in the head.
505-338-3700.
Dude.
I know what you're trying to do right now. It's
if
not
zombies
working.
Come, I'm pitching myself up on the roof and I'm shooting them one by one.
There you go. That's good. Would you be here? Because I feel like if that happens, isn't that in Scripture, like in Revelation, where the dead rise? Won't we already be gone?
Yeah, I'm talking more, not like biblical zombies. I'm talking more like there was a crazy epidemic, like there's some disease that made people look like zombies.
Like World War Z, which I haven't seen yet.
Or any other zombie movie.
Okay.
There's always like some weird disease. We've got to find a cure to cure the zombies.
Right.
I really want to know, because it never happens, but what do they expect to happen? Like all these people that have been eating brains for the past 2 years, all of a sudden they're like, oh, hey, wait. Oh,
I have the biggest stomach.
Oh, man. I'm emaciated and I have brains in my tummy.
I'm so glad to be back to normal, everybody. I'm missing my left arm, like, but I'm back.
Like, honestly, we know that if they were actually cured, they'd be put in concentration camps at that point. It's like, yeah, okay, you ate brains for 2 years. You're not allowed to live with the rest of us anymore. Sorry, go live behind that fence. That fence, don't come across that fence. Pass, zombie man.
I love you so much. Pastor Nate Heitzig, you can catch him every Thursday night at Renovate, Calvary Knob Hill at the Lobo Theater, or right here, Shock Therapy Live. If you'd like to get a question in, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Mm. Or, of course, 505-338-3700 if you're still there.
And if you're a zombie listening to the show, please come find me. I'd love to meet you.
We got an email question. I want to take this email question.
Yes.
We got a couple, actually, so we have two we need to
get to. I really don't want to take this one, because it's not a question, and I don't want to talk about it.
It's a question, we can.
It's really not.
Be a man, Nate. Be a man, Nathan.
Oh, see, someone already replied to it. We don't need to.
No, I did. I replied to it and said we would answer your question during Shock Therapy Live.
He lied to you. Sorry.
I did not.
We're not going to talk about it.
It's not called Shock Therapy Lied. It's called Shock Therapy Live.
It's called Shock Therapy. I get to answer questions I want to answer.
What's this one? What do we got?
I have a question for Nate and Steve-O. My question, if you were at a job you hated, but it made good money, and you needed to be financially stable for your Lito one. That's really funny. You need to be stable for your Lito one. Because you're a single mom, would you stay there or go to school and pursue what you actually want to do and barely make it each week? I keep coming back to it's not all about money, and you don't take home worldly items. I want to be there for my daughter, but I also want to be able to provide for her. I also would like to enjoy what I do, and I believe me being happy will benefit her. I'm stuck. This has been heavy on my heart for a while now.
Hmm.
I will say this. We live in a drastically different culture than our parents and our grandparents did, and I think it's to our detriment. And what I mean by this is our parents and our grandparents got a job and they found their gratification not necessarily in the job that they had, but they found their gratification in their family and what it was that their job got them. Right. And that job got them the ability to provide for their family and the ability to live a happy life with their families.
Right.
So you had grandparents that held the same job for 30 years, not because they loved and they felt that this job was their passion and what they were called to do, but because they felt called more than doing a certain job, they felt called to provide for their family.
Preach
they
it.
Felt called to make sure that their families could live a life of stability.
Yeah.
Now, our culture, for some whatever reason, we have this mentality that, man, I've got to find what I'm called to. I've got to find what
happy.
I feel passionate for. And so you have people that will go from job to job to job. You have people that in college will go from one major to the next major and be in college for 8 years because they're like, well, you know, I'm just really trying to find what I'm called to do. Look it, before being called to a certain thing that you feel impassioned for. You're called to provide for your family. So I would say that's a stronger calling than you feeling happy of where you're working at.
Yeah.
So, you know, what we need to find our happiness in isn't in our job. We need to find our happiness in something else. Because this is the thing about happiness. You might find a job that you say, well, this is what I'm called and I feel a passion to do. And you'll feel really passionate about that for 5 years. And after 5 years, you'll be like, well, I don't feel called there anymore. I feel called somewhere else. And so by playing off of your emotions, you're never going to be happy with where you're at.
Right.
You've got to find a calling in something deeper. And I think you have that calling. That calling is to provide for your daughter. That calling is to provide for your family, to make sure that she can grow up in a home where there's stability, where she can feel safe. And that's much more important than you feeling passionate about where you're working at. So,
yeah.
You know, I think that our culture just needs to have a reality check and realize that there's more important things than being, you know, in a job that you have fun at. You know, or something like that.
Yeah, I immediately thought of my mom. I took this one very personal because my mother was an air traffic controller and did that for many, many years. And air traffic controllers, the suicide rate is ridiculous. It is the quote unquote, I don't remember where it ranks on the list now, but at one time, when my mom was doing this, actually, she'd been doing it since back in the Reagan days when Reagan laid off a bunch of air traffic control. I don't even know the whole story. I was just like barely alive if I was even around yet. But she stuck to it as a single mother. As a single mother who would spend 10 to 12 hours a day working, knowing that her kids were provided for and taken care of at home, unfortunately, with a babysitter or whoever was taking care of us at the time, because as a single mother, she had to provide. Mm. She had to provide, and it stressed her out, and she didn't love her job. It was a very high-stress job, but it was also a very well-paying job that she did, and she did well because she had to provide for three children who needed her. And so I agree with you. It's difficult. Now, is that to say that God, you know, it's like, you know, we are promised in Scripture that God will give us the desires of our heart, right? Mm-hmm. So does that mean, well, then that means I should love my job, and that means, that doesn't necessarily mean that, but it also means you can find contentment in your job. You said that you hated your job. Well, why did you take the job in the first place? At one point, maybe there was a desire for it, or maybe it was because of the money. I don't know why you initially took the job, but maybe go back and think of why you found that job to begin with, what it was about it. Maybe it's just simply a matter of God found you an amazing job that provides for your daughter, and that's enough. And that's it. We find that contentment in Christ and say, you know what? This job, cool. It may not be the greatest job in the universe, but I'm making more money than I'll make anywhere else. And if you go back to school, you talk about how you're wanting to provide for your daughter and you're not being able to be there for her right now. If you go back to school, you're going to probably be less with your daughter than you are now, because you think about the hours that you're in school. Then you think about the studying hours. Then you think about all the student loans you're going to take out. Then you think about all these things. Now, I'm not trying to dissuade you from that, but I am saying seek the Lord on this for sure. You take it back to Scripture. You take it to God.
Did you ever watch The Legend of Bagger Vance? You ever see that movie?
I did not. Golfing movie. Boring. Yeah.
Well, no, there was some really, you know, really, really cool parts in it. One of the scenes in this movie, it was during the Great Depression.
Okay.
And this guy who had the same job for years and years lost his job to his family. And he decides, look, I can either... All his friends were saying, no, you know, I have dignity. I'm not just going to get a job sweeping the streets. I'm going to, you know, and so what they ended up doing is sitting on their porch, not getting a job.
Yeah.
And this guy decides, you know what? I'm going to get a job. I'm going to be a street sweeper because I want to provide for my family. And providing for my family is more important than me having a job where I, you know, feel, you know, important at. And what happened is there was this one guy, one father was criticizing him. He was like, man, he's lost his dignity. He's lost his pride. Look at him sweeping the streets. And his response was, there's more pride and dignity in the fact that I can provide food for my kids than you getting to sit at home and your kids not eating because you have pride, you know? And so I think it's more important in our culture because, again, we're talking about a generation in the past that went through the Great Depression and any job was a good job.
Yeah.
And now we live in this privileged society where it's not the case. People don't just want to get a job. They want to get the job and they want to make sure that they get this many vacation days and they're this taken care of and their break room looks like this. And we live in this culture that is destroying our society. It really is. It's destroying our society. It's destroying our economical, or I just said economical. It's destroying our economic growth as a country. And so we need to get to a place back as a society where we just, you know, get a job because it's a job,
yeah.
Not because it's the job. You know, it's the best job. We get a job, you know.
There was a time where I was not here, and I found contentment in like, man, I was on the radio, and I'm not there. And now I'm working at like Apple, and I was working at Starbucks at one point, and this is so not glamorous. But I kept coming back to a scripture, and I'm telling you, this is a hard scripture at the time for me, but it was one that I said, you know what, Lord? I don't care if I have to work three jobs. And at one point, I really did have three jobs at the same time a couple years ago. Because 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone does not provide for his family, especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Dude, that punched me in the gut. But I wanted to do this TV show that wasn't really going anywhere or getting any money out of. But I want to do these fun things, and I deserve. Dude, I was on the radio for years, and instead I got a job working retail because it provided for my family. I got a job doing that. I got another engineering type job, and I had all these different jobs that I was doing at the same time. And sadly, I wouldn't get home till 8 or 9 o'clock. And there were some days where my kids, they were at school. And then by the time I got home, they were already asleep. But it was a season. It was a time where those were the jobs I had that provided for my family. Mm. And then God opened some amazing doors. And here we are a couple years later, and God is doing some great things. But that scripture was one that was really hard for me, especially as the husband, especially as the head of the household, that if anyone does not provide for his family, especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Those are some harsh words, 1 Timothy 5:8.
Very serious.
And so, yes, man, you should get up and want to go to your job, but maybe it's that motivation that you are providing for your family that gets you to your job.
You know, I would also give you Colossians 3:23. It says, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people.
Yeah.
Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you'll be paid back for what is wrong you have done, for God has no favorites. So, you know, I just love this concept. Work willingly at whatever you do,
whatever
as though you were working for the Lord. You know, again, we work for the Lord. We do all as unto the Lord.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we get this job, and we find our gratification in the fact that we're being able to do what God has called us to do, which is provide for our families. And especially for you, you know, I relate to you in your situation. I feel bad for you because it sounds like you're a single mother.
Yeah.
That you're the breadwinner for your family. It says that you're 19 years old. And so you really have to understand that right now at this place in the life, you hold the mantle of the woman and the man of the house. You know, you're providing both roles. And so you've got to realize that your calling is to provide for your family and make sure that your family has a roof over their head, has food in their tummies, has clothes on their back. And that's your calling at this point. More than anything else, your calling is to provide for your family.
Thank you so much for the email. Obviously, as the product of a single parent home, I feel for you. I understand. My mom had to make some pretty crazy sacrifices in order to provide for me and my brother and sister, and I love her dearly. And those to me are greater than, yeah, but man, if only she had, you know, done whatever it was she wanted to do, you know, all that meaningless at this point because we were provided for. We were taken care of.
You know, on your deathbed, this is what's going to happen. You're not going to get on your deathbed and having provided for your family say, man, I wish I would have done what I love doing. But you would get to your deathbed if you didn't provide for your family and say, man, I wish I would have provided for my family. I wish I wouldn't have thought about myself. I wish I would have thought about my family in this situation.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment. I think that ultimately, you know, we have to, it's our call to our families to provide for our families and for, you know, to support. But also it's like you have to understand that, you know, God is our ultimate provider. And by following God and putting him first, God honors us by honoring our families and giving us the situation that we can provide for them. Mm-hmm. I think,
totally.
You know, I think especially in our society, we have this idea of, oh, it's the pursuit of happiness. I mean, you know, as Americans, we pursue our happiness, but, you know, but we know that happiness is like temporary. It's,
right,
amen.
It's fleeting. And what we need to do as Christians is ultimately provide, like, pursue things that are everlasting, like the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is something that is everlasting and that feeds our spirit. And that ultimately, like, if we have joy in our hearts and our lives, then it doesn't matter what we do, because happiness comes and goes, but joy is everlasting.
Amen.
And so when we go forward and we work our jobs, I mean, our lives is full of season. That's what the Bible says, that there's time first for planting and reaping, and there's, you know, desert and there's fire, and then there's harvest.
Right.
But, you know, ultimately what it is that we need to put God first, and He provides for us.
Amen.
He gives us the path that we need to walk, and that, you know, it's ultimately what we're called to do.
Amen. Shelby, how old are you?
I'm 21.
21, spoken like a pastor. That was awesome.
Yeah,
that was great.
Fantastic.
You know, and you bring up a great point. Again, we live in this culture that's even in our Declaration of Independence, the pursuit of happiness.
Right.
And so a lot of times we get into a Christian walk and we say, I hear people all the time say, well, God wants me to be happy. God wants me to be happy. So we use this as an excuse for a multitude of things. We use this as an excuse to live in relationships we shouldn't live in, whether it's a homosexual relationship, whether it's, you know, an adulterous relationship, whether it's doing things we know we shouldn't do. Well, God wants me to be happy, right? So I deserve this because God wants me to be happy. Look, nowhere in the Bible does it say that God wants you to be happy. As a matter of fact, God says that happiness is a byproduct of holiness. God doesn't want you to be happy. God wants you to be holy. And He says that if you're holy, you're going to get something deeper than happiness. And that's what you're talking about, joy.
Yeah.
That's a peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yeah.
So God's ultimate desire for your life would be that you would be holy, not that you would be happy. Happiness is secondary to holiness. So, you know, in this situation, you're totally right. You know, if we're holy, then God will give us something deeper than happiness, and that is joy. You know, again, happiness is, like you're saying, fleeting, where joy is everlasting.
Yeah.
And so our joy is founded in God.
Amen. Right. Shelby, thank you so much for the call.
Thanks so much.
All right. 505-338-3700. I can relate. Dude, here's the thing, you know, talking about where your place is, and we're not telling you you shouldn't go to school. We're not telling you that you should stick to this job. What we're saying is you need to seek the Lord and what He has for you, because, to be honest, I have the dream job, in my opinion. I am the program director of Static Radio. I'm the music director of Static Radio, and I have a pretty super fantastic morning show that I love. I love doing Shock Therapy Live. I absolutely have a dream killer job that I wake up and go, yay! But do I wake up every single day at 4:30 and go, Lord, thank you so much for this amazing job that I love. This is the best job ever, and I'm so content and happy. If I'm being completely honest, because it's Shock Therapy Live, there are days where I'm frustrated. There are days where I'm pissy. There are days where it just doesn't go my way. And so it doesn't matter.
And there's days
when
you think I'd be happier doing something
else. I have those days. We've all had those days, no matter what station of life you are. So to say, man, I'm in this job. It's paying me a lot of money. It's way better than the job that I could get, but I also want to go to school and do these things. You know, if you think that's going to bring that happiness to
it's
you.
Like, I picture a quintessential movie like, I'm in this great job, but I've always had a passion to cut hair.
Right.
I've always had a passion to express my art through hair.
I have truly had that. I've always thought, dude, I'm going to be an actor. I want to be in movies. I want to do TV. I want to be a voice actor for cartoons. I always had these desires. And then it was like, okay, you got to go to school. You're going to have to take these acting classes. You're going to have to da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it was like, you know what? I'm already working a full-time job. I'm not going to have time for these. So what, do I quit my job so that I can try and pursue this so that eventually someday maybe it would pay off, considering the millions of people are also trying to do the same thing?
Your kids would be happier.
Oh, would they?
If you were happy.
So instead, you know, you find that contentment in Christ. Yeah. I think that's what it comes back to.
Yeah.
Whatever God has for you. And as Shelby just said, man, He is your provider. Psalm 23, this morning I was listening to James McDonald on Walk in the Word 107.1, and he was talking about that very thing. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is our shepherd. He is our provider. He will take care of us. 505-338-3700. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen?
What's up?
Dude, I just on the topic of like being patient, which is the hardest thing in the world to do.
Right.
For me especially, but you know, working absolute dead-end jobs to feed the family. For me it started earlier with drug addiction, just being completely disabled. by my own addictions. And starting there, it took me there to find God, to look to God instead of looking to myself. And at that point, it's been a long road. And you know, here we are probably almost 10 years into this trip. But in that time, I've worked at pizza joints. You know, I've had three jobs, so many jobs, it's unbelievable. Yeah. And this far down the line, that humility, every job, whether it was sunrooms at a hotel or, you know, at first I couldn't see it. But I, like Steve-O said, I finally got past myself to do what was required of me for others. Right. And again, I mean, to finally get past my own selfishness to see someone else's needs as more important than my own.
Right.
Yeah.
What a huge step.
Amen.
You know, in life. And then, you know, my wife to look at me and say, this is a great job and it's more money than we've ever made. And it's only 30 something thousand bucks. Right. But you know what? I don't see enough. And we're having another son. We're having another child. You've got to make a decision. I need you here.
Amen.
Whatever you've got to do. So at that moment, I'm like, okay, I put in my 2 weeks notice. I don't know where I'm going to land. Literally, somebody knocks at my door. Literally, when we walk in the neighborhood at night, you know, a neighbor that we're friendly with says, I think you'd be great selling hotel rooms at my hotel. Knocks on the door, do you need a job today? Yeah, today wow. I need a job.
Incredible. Yeah.
You know, it's so cool, too, because that's like the message of Christ. You know, think about what Christ did. Do you think it was Christ's dream job to put on human flesh
right.
and come to
be
earth?
Be a carpenter,
and,
you know.
Literally, it said that he humbled himself.
Yeah.
It wasn't something he was like, man, this is awesome. I mean, when it came down to the garden, it said that he said, Lord, if this cup can be removed from me, let it be so. But if not, your will be done.
Yeah.
You know, Christ exemplified himself in doing what he didn't want to do for us.
Yeah.
And so the best way that we can show that is to do the same. Do what we don't necessarily want to do for others. Sacrifice our needs for others' needs.
Dude.
Absolutely, dude. And I want to say this. So at this moment, right, I'm like, I don't get what you're doing, but it's obvious to me that you're working in my life.
Amen.
Obvious, right? And I'm like, I don't get it, but I've got to be completely faithful. Take my hands off it. You didn't bring me here to fail. I know you've got your hand on my back. Dude, I'm good. I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. I go to this hotel.
Shane, we got 20 seconds.
Okay, so dude, I go to this hotel, I'm selling rooms, and that's where the boss walks into the door, finds me this hotel, and gives me the job that doubles my income.
Wow.
By being faithful and do what I couldn't see the end result.
Amen.
You know, just being faithful. So
awesome,
there
man.
It is.
I love you guys.
Love
dude.
You too.
Right,
thanks
Shane,
for the
love
testimony.
You too, bro. God bless, man.
If you missed any part of the show, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. You can podcast it. That's it for us.
Peace.
We out.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.